Listening Dog Media.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Hot Mess Mum. The mum most likely to send her kids to school in regular clothes on non-school uniform day. The mum who forgets to sign the permission slip for school trips. The mum who has probably put leftovers in her kids' lunchbox on more than one occasion. But most importantly, the Hot Mess Mum is actually rocking it and is doing a far better job than even she thinks. Please welcome our Hot Mess Mums, telling it as it is, Kelly and Jenny Powell.
Hello and welcome to the Hot Mess Mums. I'm Jenny Powell.
And I'm Kelly Pegg.
And you know what? I am blessed to be able to say these words. Ladies and gentlemen, please will you welcome the most amazing woman, and I'm so happy to have her on the show, Martine McCutcheon.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much, Martine, for coming on. It's good to see you, because can you remember the first time we saw the first time we saw each other, really?
No.
In a club in Romford.
What club?
At the Hollywoods.
Oh my God, yes!
Right, guys, listen
those
to this.
Were the days.
Hey, those were the days.
Early 90s, cracking on.
Yeah, it's early 90s, the club of the century called Hollywoods, had a balcony going around and everything.
You know what? I loved that place so much. I absolutely loved it. I met my first ever boyfriend there.
Did you?
Yeah, my first proper boyfriend. He was a DJ and I thought I was the coolest thing ever, of course.
Aaron, did he have an XR3?
Probably. Part of the job description, isn't it?
I think I knew him.
I probably do.
But that was a time that, you know, I think we both remember, because we both started off really very young in our careers.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. I mean, you're younger than me, so you were really, you know, it's been your life, you know, your what you do. Have you ever had a different job?
No. I mean, I have had, like, little part-time jobs. I worked, you know, doing cleaning with my mum in the morning. She had, like, three jobs. She was single parent. So she had, you know, cleaning in the morning. Then she worked at the employment agency during the day. And of an evening, sometimes I would go and see her. And she worked at a pub as a barmaid. And I actually based the whole Tiffany thing on her.
Did you? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was kind of nice just to talk to the writers and be able to give them some real experience of people that do live in pubs and people that are genuinely from the East End and that kind of thing. But it's been a funny old road. I worked in Selfridges for a little while. I mean, little bits and bobs, but my main aim was always to try and do work in the industry. And looking back, I mean, I was just really, really blessed. You know, as you know, Jenny, certain things just when you want to give it up sometimes, or when you just don't think it's for you anymore, something pulls you back or something happens and it's just meant to happen.
Yeah. And you're a real multitasker as well, aren't you? I mean, first of all, you do things 100%. And I know that you kind of wore yourself out at one point doing that. But
yeah.
All singing, all dancing, acting, presenting. And that's what I love as well. Because people can sometimes put you in, you know, a sort of pocket and say, right, that's all she does. And you have to fight against that sometimes, don't you?
I think so, but I think everybody has, like, a different view of what you are, and they will think that their view and their opinion's right. And I think that, for me, I just feel really, really lucky that, you know, we went to Conti's, we were trained to do as many things as we could do, not to be a show-off, but because we would be employed more. And it gave you the tools to go out there and be it kick your legs, sing a song, present, whatever it may be. They tried to equip you for that. And so I was, you know, gung-ho and ready and raring to go. I had a really difficult childhood. And for me, it was the thing that propelled me. It was the thing that pushed me and made me want to succeed. And and have a little bit of the good stuff in life.
But you did EastEnders, which, you know, you were massively popular as Tiffany. Everybody adored you. And then obviously you were on the stage doing Eliza as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you have had that whole mixture of from the filming television to the live kind of theatre and everything.
And I was never really like, you know, we learned Shakespeare at school and did Lambda exams and all of that stuff. And it was something that, you know, I looked into and I enjoyed, but I was always more fascinated by your kind of movie stars and people that shared an essence of themselves that made people feel good about themselves. And, you know, people like Hugh Grant, Elizabeth Taylor, Julia Roberts, Marilyn Monroe, you know, all those people that I looked up to, and Barbara Streisand, for instance, they all were kind of had bits of elements of them in the same thing, but they were just so gorgeous that you didn't care, you know? And that's kind of what I wanted to emulate in my own little way, because it was just what I loved when I was growing up. I didn't care about the Chekhov or being a serious actor or actress. For me, the most amazing actors and actresses are the ones that you watch and you believe and you're just lost in the moment. The ones that they look like they're trying too hard or you think they're acting, for me, it's kind of, that's not, for me, what it's about personally. That's just my take on it.
It's interesting because we were talking in the kitchen because we've got no choice really. We're on top of my Martin went, you know what, though? She came out of EastEnders. Yeah, you were the nation's sort of heartthrob and the nation's, you were a little angel, really, and we all adored you in so many ways. And then you get this big movie, and he's right, he said, but, you know, it's all right doing EastEnders, but then going into to Love Actually and being surrounded by the likes of Hugh Grant, etc. Where did she get the, he's always battled with me in confidence. He said, where did she get the confidence from? How did she feel when she was in amongst all that cast?
I think for me, because my childhood was quite difficult and my home life was very difficult, for me, it always looked very safe. That whole glossy thing was where you would feel safe. And so for me, I wasn't even thinking about, you know, was I confident enough? It was kind of like, this has to happen. Like, this has got to work for me because this is where I feel safe. This is where I feel like I belong. And it was a much more instinctive human thing that I needed rather than, you know, looking at labels of who was a big star and who wasn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you were.
And so for me, yes, of course, once I was there, like on the day that I got the first rehearsals for Love Actually, I called Richard Curtis and just said, I really don't know if you've made the right choice because I am from soap and yes, I might be able to hold my own on the small screen, but what if I just can't do it with all these big stars? I've never done it before. Like, this is a massive risk for you. And he was like, you know, he called me Teeny, but oh, shut up, Teeny, he wrote the part for you. And I was just like, you know, so things like that didn't hit me until the last minute, until I was actually sat in the room.
Yeah,
it was survival. And then once I was sat in the room, it was kind of like, oh my god, like I've really got to do this.
Yeah. And your part in that movie is so famous, isn't it? I mean, everybody always says how much they loved you and Hugh Grant and the chemistry that you had on screen as well together.
Yeah, I mean, and we're so different. And I think that's kind of the chalk and cheese element is kind of what made the chemistry happen and work. Yeah. I'd always been a bit in love with him since I'd seen him in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
You all were.
And so I sat there and my dream, my absolute dream was to, you know, not win necessarily awards, whatever. My dream was to work with Richard Curtis and Hugh Grant once I saw that movie. And I saw Notting Hill and then I saw more movies and I was like, I really, really want to do that. That's my dream. And so it was mad when it actually happened. When it actually happened, apparently Richard Curtis had seen me in EastEnders, seen my pop career, seen My Fair Lady, and just watched me grow up, really, and then said, right, we think she's ready, let's get her in. And I was like, oh, my God.
So was it tongues or not? I mean, I've
got... trust you!
Talking about, I was like,
Yes. Once Richard Curtis asked us to do, you know, as you know, you don't do it unless they tell you to.
No.
It's just not the protocol. But he came up and said, right, I really want the full-on passionate kiss this time. I was really, I was so nervous. And I just thought, oh, God, I really don't want to be a crap kisser for Hugh. And it was great. It was lovely. It worked. And, you know, I could feel there was like a gasp when the curtains went back and everyone saw us. It just felt like I was in the moment and it was magical and, yeah, it was brilliant. It's lovely.
Oh, I love that. How many women would want to be in that position?
Yeah. Well, the other thing I think we all would have liked was when you jumped on it at the airport. That was quite a good position, legs akimbo.
Jenny! No, I was worried I was going to kill him. I was just worried that if I jumped on him, I was going to kill him. So I was just like, oh, we need to practice this. And he's like, all right, come on. It was our first ever scene that we filmed.
And I was just like, oh, no.
So embarrassing. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. Like, and my boobs are going to knock you out and it's just going to be not good. And he was like, bring it on, darling, bring it on. So, yeah. So I went for it and luckily I didn't kill him.
I bet. Listen, you're making memories. I bet that man wakes up every morning and thinks, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got a great strong inner thigh. So, I remember as well Milan.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, 14, 15, and the stage and television paper used to be out. And I used to look in there, I was at Conti's, you know, once you kind of were out of pigtails, they didn't always know what to do with you. No. So I kind of used to look in the stage and television and I'd look in there and I'd be like, oh, I'll go for that and I'll go for that. And in the end, I got expelled from Italia Conti. Yeah, because I kept working without the agency.
Right, yeah. We went to the same stage school, Kelly, so you see, yeah.
Oh, wow, oh, okay.
That ran it, yeah. You have to like, we were all singing, all dancing, tits and teeth.
I need the attention, you see. That's what it's in our bones.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, but so you got dumped by Italia Conti. Yeah. No loss there, to be fair. And then, okay, so then you you were in this girl band.
Yeah, so I was in a girl band and I saw the advert and we went and auditioned and we did Gloria Estefan's 1, 2, 3. Do you remember Gloria?
2, 3, 4.
We did that. Yeah. We did a bit of the Bangles and never thought in a million years we would get it. And we were too young. They wanted like 16-year-olds and we were all younger and we just lied. And then the next thing, we had a 3-single deal with Polydor and we were just releasing dance hits and stuff like that. And at the time, it was a separate dance chart. And yeah, we did really well in the dance charts, but we never crossed over to the network charts. But we weren't great. We were like the Spice Girls or Kylie, but with not a big budget.
Yeah, but you know what? You still got to number one with Perfect Moments. So, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I forgot about that track. Oh, wow. Yeah.
For me, I found in my life, I've kind of like had really big moments.
Yeah.
I've kind of like, I've always had this love-hate relationship with the industry. Always. I think a lot of us do.
Totally.
So yeah. What's the hate side, Martine? Because everything you've been saying has been really obviously lovely and all positive, but what side of it is tough and what side of it do you find or have found hard that's made you kind of have that?
I think for me, especially being in it so young, I think growing up in the public eye and having so many opinions about you written in paper forever, your mistakes, the lies that are written about you, your insecurities, all of those things when you're not sure who you are and people are judging you about that and you don't know whether you're right or wrong yourself, you know, or how confident you are yet, or all of those things. I think they think that fame is kind of like a protecting kind of like foam around you and that somehow it doesn't hurt and or they don't care. And I think that that's the tough thing. I think if you're young and you're in the industry and you've got, you know, 22 million people watching you in their living rooms and they all feel they know you, you just become a public commodity. Yeah. And the rest of your life becomes a public commodity, especially once you go into music, which is what I'd always wanted to do. And so it is kind of a bit like a deal with the devil that you don't realise you've made.
And you sort of become a little bit cynical, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Just a little bit of cynicism, just rein everyone back in again.
Yeah. I think that you become untrusting of people. I think that you don't let many people in. Your radar is kind of like ready for people to hurt you or judge you or whatever those things may be. And you have to work really hard to not let the essence of you get, you know, knocked away because that's part of who you are, and you don't want to lose that for anything. And it's hard work. Like, it's not easy. I find it, people say, oh, you're really normal and you're down to earth. And I work hard at that because...
Absolutely. I think you have to, especially because it's been, you know, for most of your life, you've been in the public eye. You have to work really damn hard to pick your friends.
Yeah.
To know your enemies.
Yeah.
You know, and to make sure you keep your feet firmly on the ground. And when people always say, oh gosh, you're so, you know, you're just so real and you're so nice and so normal, you know, I think that they don't realise that, you know, we have to have this consciousness all the time.
Yeah, because we don't live in the real world, and I consider myself a really normal, real person.
Yeah.
You know, it has been, you know, lucky enough to do what I love. And, you know, hopefully spread a little bit of magic and help people switch off of their real problems. That's what I do it for. That's what I feel my little, you know, calling is in this world, is to be a mum, a wife, and to give people a little bit of something to help them switch off, you know, of their real lives. That's it. And so when you are surrounded by that magic and you're surrounded by this very unreal world a lot, it is quite intoxicating and it is exciting, and it's far more fun than real life sometimes. But then there's other times where I've really appreciated just washing up and just, you know, not often, don't get me wrong, but there have been times where I have really wanted to just come back down to earth and feel my feet again and just feel normal again, because it is a really bizarre business. It's bizarre.
Yeah. And it you know, in the current circumstances, here we are in Corona world, we're all isolating. For you, Kelly always says her life hasn't changed really with two young kids. She didn't really.
I'm but terrible.
I think through the sort of issues, the illnesses you've had, like with ME and Lyme's disease as well, and I've got a great person for you to watch about, to look up as well for that. Really good. You know, in a way, you've kind of dealt that what we're dealing with now has been something that's quite familiar to you anyway.
Yes. I did actually say on my Instagram that I have been used to being isolated and to being, you know, being on my own for many months at a time. And, you know, it makes you extremely strong in your head when you become like a prisoner of your body, and you kind of like either play ball with it and let it overcome you, or you fight it and you say, no, you know, I'm not done. You have to become really, really strong and you have to dig deep. And for me, I found at first it was a shock kind of bringing my expectations down and looking at the smaller picture was actually the bigger picture. And I think it's only when you've had massive sacrifices in your life or massive losses that you realise just how precious life is. And I actually feel like I'm, in a weird way, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I actually feel like I'm one of the blessed ones, because you never look at life again in the same way. And you just feel so blessed and so privileged and happy. You just feel really happy for the simple things. And so I would say to people that are kind of struggling mentally to go through this right now, it might take a while, it's not going to happen straight away, but feel the sun on your face if you can. Feel the breeze in your hair. Smell the roses. Look at your children laughing. You know, take time to have a bubbly bath with your favourite song on. These simple, silly things are actually massive. And it's really important to connect with yourself. And the problem is, when you stop, a lot of stuff comes up for everybody. It could be that their relationships aren't right with somebody. It could be they're not happy with themselves, their insecurities, something's wrong with work, they're defined by their job, whatever it may be. And whenever you stop, it all comes up. And that's really uncomfortable for a while. But then once you get through it, my God, there's no stopping you. You become just like, you just feel like you can cope with anything.
What a great message. What a great, you know, it was almost, you know, meant to be. I think it's your calling now to, you know, to spread that message. And when I've been watching sort of and just seeing you in life now, you're such, I love the way that, you know, you've got this lovely family unit. And Rafferty is just, you know, the birth of Rafferty. I know that, you know, you've struggled before to, you know, to have children. So yeah. He's really sort of your shining light, isn't he? Jack as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, both of them. I mean, when I was really unwell, a lot of people couldn't cope. They weren't used to me being anything other than Superwoman.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I wasn't the person they knew anymore, even people that really loved me, you know. And he was the person that, you know, would help me wash my hair, help me get dressed. And when I kind of worried I couldn't give him a child, which I knew he so desperately wanted and so did I, it was a really tough time and it was really difficult. But then I realised just how much he loved me, and that made me love him even more. And yes, I mean, I think having a child is the most amazing gift, and we're so lucky and privileged if we're chosen to be one of those people that can be a mother, because it's the best work you'll ever do. And it's a selfless thing in some ways, but it's also just so rewarding as well. And for me, there's just, for me personally, not everyone feels like this. Some people felt a bit numb about it all. They've found, oh, it's taken a while for them to find their feet and find their calling with motherhood. For me, the minute I had him, because I'd wanted him for so long,
yeah,
that bit of the jigsaw puzzle that was missing for me went, and I was like, finally, I felt enough, just as I was. And it took a long, long time to feel like that. And he helped me feel like that. So I'm forever grateful to him, really.
Wow, that's so lovely. I mean, I've had friends that have, you know, gone through lots of IVF and things. And
yeah.
And I've watched their journey. And it's incredible how, when you know that that's what you want to be, you want to be a mum, how much people will go through to get there. Yeah. You know, a friend of mine, his partner, she had so many rounds of IVF and it cost them so much money, but it didn't matter. And on the final round, they conceived and they have a baby boy. And now she's on Facebook every day with videos and pictures. And she's just like, you know, she loves it. But before, she used to struggle with that side of it, watching other people do it, because she knew what was going on behind closed doors.
Of course.
But I just think, wow, to have that, to never give up, you know.
No, and the thing is, emotionally, whether you have IVF or whether you tried naturally, you know, it's a battle that leaves scars. You know, every time you miscarry or every time it doesn't work, I really believe that you're left with these emotional scars, you know, and you have to just do whatever you can to, like, heal and move forward. And it's really hard to not let big moments in your life like that define you. You can really, like, I can anyway, I sometimes feel like it just encompasses my whole being and I'm like, oh, you know, and it's really important to kind of go, okay, I've learned that lesson, I've got to move on, brush yourself down and carry on. And it's sometimes really hard to do, but it is true. All those old cliche sayings, they're there for a reason.
Did you find it hard when you were thinking about having a child initially, like right at the start, when you used to do interviews? Was it something that everybody asked you because you were a woman, because you were in the public eye? Was it always one of those questions of, are you going to have children?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's different with us guys because we know what we're talking about and we know that this is going to be some of the questions. But a lot of men that I would speak to, and sometimes women that were quite mean, would just kind of write you off, because if you had a child, that meant your career would be over, because they thought, well, realistically, it's just never going to work. And thankfully, since kind of 20 years ago, when they've been trying to make me have a baby and be married off, like even in my 20s, if I was a failure because I wasn't, you know, it was a lot of pressure. And I just think that back then things have changed so much, because women have shown that they can walk the walk and talk the talk when it comes to being a mum and having a sense of self and showing their kids what makes them tick and what makes them special. And I think that's really important. I think it's an amazing, amazing thing to do. And I think that it's also really amazing if you don't want to do that either. If you want to be at home and that's your calling and you have no desire whatsoever to go out and do anything else, good for you. Brilliant. You know, and I'm always a bit of both. I'm kind of like, one minute I'm like, I've got to go out there and do what I'm meant to do. And then the other times I'm like, I couldn't think of anything worse. You know, I couldn't think of anything worse. I should be wrapped up with my baby in a towel and I would stay here forever, you know. And I just think that that's what makes us women the brilliant beings that we are. We're complex. We've got so many layers and so many questions that we want answered.
I think, you know, I love the way we're so complex. I mean, I'm glad we're math. But also I feel this sort of, you know, this, like you do, where, yeah, I love to go out there and do my thing and all the rest of it. But there are still people who say, you know, if you give yourself like a month or two off, they'll still go, well, what's happening? Why are you, you know, well, you're not doing things. And I'm going, no, I'm not, because I also have kids. And
no matter what you do, it's never enough. It's never enough. If you haven't got, for me, if I haven't got a film out now, if I'm not doing a show, I'm not, you know, have you given up? Because, no, I've just got a life as well.
Yeah, hello. It's like pretty all consuming as well. In fact, you know, career aside, takes up most of my life anyway. Hello. You know,
that's the thing again. I think again, women more than anyone else, I think that they are, people project onto them.
Yeah.
But they project onto them and it's all their stuff. You know, if they're going on to you about, are you not doing this? You're not doing that. Why are you not doing that? Why are you not more rich, successful, thin, married, not married, four kids, whatever it may be, it will never be enough. And it's about them. It's not about you. And I've just realised that, like, people will read an article about me and I could think it's horrific and they could think, actually, it's quite neutral. It's fine. You know, you have to just live your life. And I know people say this word a lot, but authentically for you and in your path for you. I really believe, I'm a bit of a spiritual bunny. I believe we're all here. We've all got our purpose. We're all meant to meet who we're meant to meet. We're all meant to connect and love and hate and all of these things for a reason. It's, you know, kind of mapped out to a degree. And you have these instincts with certain people for a reason. And you have these callings to do certain jobs or to be a parent or not. You know, it's for a reason.
Gosh, you're like, I don't know, I think we should have your, the Martine's thought of the bloody week.
Martine's thought of the day.
Good sense, girl, I'm loving it. And also,
I had a lot of time to think. When I was like, oh God, I'm so ill, what am I going to do with myself? I just had to think and read books and make my own mind up about stuff.
Yeah, so with your Lyme's disease, how is it working with that, with Lyme's disease?
Because you manage it. It's kind of like Crohn's or diabetes or a lot of diseases where you manage it. You have your flare-ups and then you have your times where you're absolutely fine. Right. And for me, I'm just so grateful that I have, between the ME and the Lyme disease, I think they're kind of linked. I think in time that will all come out as well.
Right.
I think that definitely disease in your body is a disease, as they've said before, when you've got disease in your life or whatever it may be. And it might not be from now, it could be from stuff way back. I kind of just try and work on being happy. I think when you're really happy, and I think happiness does take work sometimes. I don't think it's just given. I think there's certain things and certain habits that naturally happy people do that they don't even realize they do. So I work at being happy, I work at being healthy, and then when I go out and I do my work, if anything goes wrong, I know I've done my best. And 9 times out of 10 now, that's not the case. And I feel so much more confident that I can go out, trust that I can do the job. Yeah. And when I can't, you know, guess what? The world doesn't stop. The world still turns. And and now I'm like, you know what? I care, but I'm not to the point it's going to make me feel awful.
No. And how important is music to you? Because I know sometimes you put some lovely, at the moment as well, you know, you're saying, oh, you've got to listen to this track. What's your Corona track, just for us all to just forget? Because you actually inspired me yesterday. I thought, right, I'm going to do what Martine does. I'm going to make everyone go in the kitchen and listen to my favourite track. And then it was the most miserable one because it was Michael Jackson and You Are Not Alone. Like, bloody hell, Mum. Is this supposed to cheer us up or something?
Oh, oh my God, kick them while they're down, why don't you? You know, I'd say my song for the moment, which is a bit more cheery, is that New Radicals one. You've got a reason to live, don't let go. One dance left. I love that one. I play that most days.
Okay, could I get it if I just do Alexa? Because I hate gadgets. I just talk to Alexa.
New Radicals. You give.
Wait a minute, New Radicals, right? Because she hasn't got them. She's like, Jenny, are you joking? That's like a 1972. And I'm like, all right, sorry. Right.
I'm the same, though. I'm a 70s and 80s queen, normally.
Okay, we need to party. I might, it's my birthday next week. I might need some help.
Oh, I'll be there on Skype.
Yeah. Anything, please help. What's yours, Kelly? What's yours?
Do you know, I've got, God, there's loads I like. So I don't know really. I don't know whether I pick one. But we listen to quite miserable music in our house sometimes. So we love the Smiths. I'm not going to play that right now because that's not going to. But we're massive Smiths fans.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was in a video with Morrissey, sort of similar sort of ilk.
Oh, wow.
And I thought he was going to be really scary, and he was really nice.
Was he? He's not very popular at the moment.
No.
For various things, which is a bit of a shame. But
all my songs
with Chris are the Smiths. Miserable.
And do you remember The Cure?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Friday. I'm in love.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but I was a bit more of I loved him a bit of disco.
Yeah, anything, not disco.
Anything a bit cheesy and a bit camp that you're not meant to love, I love.
And Madonna. Madonna?
Yes. Just like a
I'm a big Madonna fan. But I like her stuff that wasn't that popular, so like American Life and those kind of albums that didn't. They're my favourite. I love them.
I loved the Blonde Ambition Tour. For me, as well, when you're growing up, and in those days you had massive, massive stars, like not where you knew everything about everybody.
Yeah.
And she was just like this mythical creature.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Like, you're just not human. You're not human.
Untouchable. Yeah. My God. She was like a god. Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said. Like, I love that. I think it's really good for artists and actors that there is a lot more real now, and people realise that, you know, excuse my French, but shit gets real for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I also think that there's something to be said to have that little bit of mystery as well. I think that there's a fine line.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting because back in the 90s, early 90s, and even late 80s when we were, you know, doing our thing, it was proper fame then, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, if you were a star, you know, there weren't many.
Nah, but it was.
Anything, really. Like, if you were a star, there was a few and they were absolutely huge. Same with TV shows. If you had a TV show, you only had four channels and it was huge. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. And now it's kind of like, take your pick. And why is it there's so many channels and there's still nothing to watch?
Good point. I don't know.
That's so true.
I don't know why that is. Like, there's a couple. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a couple. But then you're like,
But don't you find as well, like, the main ones are all the same presenters and same hosts as well? There's not a lot of diversity anymore.
No, it's almost types like of people. Not, I think there's a lot of things that have happened gadget-wise and that in the whole, like, tech world that we haven't caught up with yet. Mm. You know, like writers and things like Spotify. I know with Jack being a musician, producer, writer and all that stuff. You know, Spotify and what the writers get paid and all of that stuff, it doesn't add up yet. It doesn't, it's not fair at all. And I know in years to come, they'll look back and go, oh, how did they get away with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, we were talking about that fame thing and when it was real fame. And, you know, most of us didn't get our slippers embroidered. Didn't you?
Yeah.
About this, Kelly. She thought that was a secret. It's not a secret. I'm a dog. I just do research.
I'm a dressing gown, Jo. I'm a dressing gown.
So can you elaborate, please?
So we had the French premiere of Love Actually in Paris. I'm going to be dining out on these, and I'm ATV stories, aren't I? I remember when. We went to Paris, and we were staying in the Ritz, and when we got into the room, I mean, it was just like Coco Chanel's boudoir, every room. It was just beautiful. And I went to put on a dressing gown and I looked down and it had Martine and then the Ritz Paris on the back. And then even on my slippers.
Oh, wow.
And the date.
Wow.
Did you take them home? I hope you've got them.
I did.
All right, just checking.
Listen, can't resist the Bulgari toiletries still.
Good girl.
Wow.
Shove it all in if you go to a posh hotel.
Friends. Do you remember Rush from Friends taking all the...
Yeah. Who doesn't do that? That's who
I know. Do you know what? It's awful, isn't it? It's so cheap, but I can't help it.
It comes in handy. That big bucket full of all those hotel toiletries you've got, they're coming in handy now, aren't they?
I'm still the same. I don't know about you, but if I buy something that's designer... Yeah. Like a Net-a-Porter box or, you know, a Gucci bag, I fold it and I look after it and I keep it there and I look at it and I go, you're rocking.
Do you want me to tell?
Dawson, what can I say?
Kelly, do you want to tell Martine about your dressing gown?
Oh, God. Well, I've been turning up in Skype with the dressing gown on when we do evening recordings.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big purple fluffy thing from M&S. It's not fancy at all, but it's got a massive hole in where I caught it in the log burner. But the kids love it so much because they say it smells of me that I've not got a new one.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, Martin, Jenny is like the queen of glam and she's just so gorgeous and I'm just a mess all the time. Like we're so different. She rocks up looking amazing, even on Skype, and I'm in my crap.
But do you know what? That's what, listen, she just needs to send you a fabulous dressing gown and you'll be ready to go.
I think I'm onto this.
Watch kids grow up, you'll be doing your hair and feeling all like woohoo again.
I've got to get there.
You will.
I'm pretty proud of myself today. Our hot water and boiler stopped working and I fixed it myself.
You didn't.
I did. So I haven't had a shower yet because I've only just done it, but I got it done and fixed it. So, yeah.
Bravo.
I know.
That's really good. How did you even know
that? Well, I FaceTimed my husband and he talked me through it. I didn't do it on my own. But I got it. I did it. I physically did it.
That sounded so good up to one point when you said, home my husband.
But I've got to be honest.
We might have to do all that because I thought, God, what if something conks out? And it's you need to get a man who can in.
Listen, I don't care what it takes. I take it all very, very seriously. But if our heat and our water conks out, I find that a necessity.
That's an
essential. Yeah. And I'll have a man covered in plastic.
Yeah,
just see his eyes and he'll come and fix it, whatever it takes.
Agreed. Or maybe Kelly, who knows?
Yes. We need you on wheels.
Yeah, I've got these two running around. Can you? I'm sorry. It's just me on my own today.
Hot Mums.
Yeah, exactly. This is what it's all about. So can I just ask as well, when you perform with Queen, because some of the members of Queen, because that is just...
Yeah.
When what?
When you were with Queen on stage.
Yes. Yeah, that was during one of my, I think it was my second album, and Brian May just asked if I'd come on and sing with the Queen band.
Wow.
And I was just like, this is what I'm saying. I spend my life as a really normal person pretending to be part of this crazy world. And I was like, yeah, of course, Brian. Yeah. And I was like, Mom! So I played it cool with Brian and I was a professional and I did it and it was all great. And you know what was so amazing? You know, Jenny, you've pretty much met everybody.
Yeah.
And it's so nice when they don't let you down.
Oh, isn't it? It's like, oh, those first few you might think, please don't be.
Please don't. I know. Yeah, it's just so lovely when they're like, when they're just such, they're good eggs. He's a good egg, Brian May.
Yeah. Good hair. Yeah, it was a bit of hair off us, I think, as well, wasn't it?
I had all mine done. And I said, listen, I'm doing a view. And he said, you're very cheeky, but that's very funny.
Oh, you've just been an absolute pleasure, Martin. We could go off for ages. But I know you've got your back, haven't you?
Yeah.
Looking after at this moment. See, this is the situation. We're all in now. We're working from home, but we're still doing it, girls. We're still doing it.
Yeah, it's really good for me to like have this today because I've actually had a bath and washed my hair and everything.
Oh, you look gorgeous. You really do. We've been dying to do this for when we come to London, but we're not going to be coming for a long time. I know.
And actually, yeah, it's worked out well because normally I've always got that really weird window.
Yeah.
Where I have to pick Rafferty up and drop him off. And then I've only got a couple of hours in London.
Yeah.
And it's fine if I've got one of the in-laws around.
Yeah.
Mum lives all the way in Oxford. Jack's working. And I'm like, sometimes I feel a bit of a single parent going, But yeah, so it all worked out in the end.
Yes. Great, because you sort of get dressed and get ready. I go, no, I'm going to work now. And Connie goes, what, you're going down the stairs into the dining room, Mum? Big deal.
I've still got the slippers on.
At least you've got them, Mum.
At one point, I really didn't have tracksuit bottoms on. Jack said to me, you can't, because I'm a bit hot. And Jack said to me, you can't sit there with no trousers on doing the thing. I went, but they're not going to see, are they? Thank the Lord. That would have been a bit too much to reveal.
Oh, and thank you so much for introducing me to the beret.
The beret?
Because you wore your beret, so you wore a beret. In Love Actually, I'm not joking, Matt. And I saw it, I thought, that was really good. And loads of sort of shows I did after. I used to wear this beret on this What was it? I can't remember. I was too old. What is it? Oh, I did like a, what was it called? To Buy or Not to Buy? It was like a property show. And I got the beret thing off. Yeah, I thought she looks good.
I still love a beret, but I cannot wear a red coat. The minute I wear a red coat, that's it. I just don't get left alone. It's ridiculous. A red coat's like a beacon for people to go, oh, isn't it weird?
And you know what, as well, while we're all here, I feel like we are literally having a coffee in a cafe, by the way.
Great. I love it.
I do. I'm kind of wearing myself out a bit, because you feel like, because you're at home and you're here, I'm sort of piling on the workload.
Yeah.
I've got to remember, have a day off.
Oh my God, Jenny, I knew you could be on lockdown and have to tell yourself to have a day off. Are you mad?
Yeah.
You're a doer, aren't you? You're a doer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that if you do all your exercise and stuff like that, and then just spend your energy doing stuff that's quite calm, that might be a nice little transition. That's what I have to do. When I'm a bit like, ooh, and I've been doing my concerts, and I've been on tour, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just have to, like, focus my energy on something else that I love, but that is calming. Oh, and then that gets me to a bit of a quieter place.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. See, she's giving me advice.
I know, so good. Oh, it's hard to sit still sometimes, isn't it?
It is.
Depending on what kind of person you are.
It's hard.
My mind's going, I'm thinking, oh, look at that there. But I've got your, so I'm a bit like that. I'm going to go and have a bath.
Yeah. I'm going to later when Chris gets home.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, it's on my list to do. And you,
music on. You've got the Smiths. You've got anything 80s and 70s, whatever. 80s. Candles on.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether I'll get down to shaving my legs. And as for the other bits, well.
Yeah, we're in trouble. Are you worried about that, Martine? We were saying this, you know, your hair, your waxing, whatever you have done.
Martine McCutcheon, if she's worried about a big bush.
No, not now, but I mean, like, in 2 months, if we're still in this position, has it crossed your mind? Like, do you think, oh my God.
What bit? What's crossed my mind? What?
Well, anything. Like, if you get anything done, like if you have your hair done or your eyebrows, I don't know. I said
on my Instagram stories the other day that we're going to see the real you of everybody. Like, people that have had Botox, people that get their hair coloured, people that have their lashes done, people that have their lip liner done, their whatever it may be, you're going to start seeing the real them.
Yeah, I bet there'll be a big drop.
I have a little bit of baby Botox.
Yeah,
I want that. I've spoken about it before, and that's I can frown again.
Yeah, and I prefer that.
No, it's easy for you, Jenny, because you say I prefer that because all your lines are in the right places.
Wow.
But when you get like weird little snouty lines and
I've got
lines
them.
Weird places, I get really weird lines just on the top of my nose that I hate. It makes me feel a bit piggy and snouty.
Yeah,
no, they've got to go. They've got to go.
Well, you'll have to wait a while. And I do think that Instagram, there'll be tumbleweed. It'll be like deserted in about a month's time. Watch, because no one will be able to post themselves anymore. Just be quiet. Social media has gone down. Nobody wants to post themselves anymore.
Thank God for filters.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Filters. I've got my backup. I've got my filters. Real schmeal.
Whatever.
Real schmeal. We'll always keep it a bit real, but a little filter, that's not so bad.
Yeah,
it's not hurting anybody, is it?
Yeah. Or post one from 10 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No one will know.
Love it.
I'm still bloody 42 then. It's no good for me, is it?
Oh, yeah, but look at you.
Don't look.
Your energy's not it at all. You're so, like, inspirational, Jenny. You really are.
She does not look her age at all. My best friend was like, oh my God, how does she do it? And I was like, I don't know. I've got no idea.
Do you know what? Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. If you don't worry about it, don't get stressed and it doesn't come over you in the face.
I have to say, I don't know about you, but I do forget my age.
Yeah.
I do forget my age. I do like think, like if I want to do something, if I want to wear something, I just think more than ever, we've got such a brilliant time to be able to be whoever we want to be at whatever age.
Yeah.
And people like you, Jenny, like you fly the flag because you're a mum, you've had a successful career, you still look beautiful, but you're still natural, you've taken care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's taken women doing that for us to see because these are like firsts, really, for us.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's true. Right. Okay. No pressure, Jenny.
No pressure.
Who's on then?
Yes.
I'll be cooking a meal for four with my bikini and presenting at the same time.
Yeah.
So, see, 50. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what that was. It's a very big soup. Anyway, I think we should leave you to get back to your beautiful family.
Yes.
With the most gorgeous hair.
Oh, I know. He's got his hair like his daddy.
His hair.
Curls, just loads and loads of curls. Like, I wish I had it. I don't. Mine's wavy, but it's not curly.
No, well, we'll all be looking the same soon. Just all like a hair bear bunch, won't we? All bouncing around everywhere. I'm going to have to cut my fringe later.
I cut my own hair as well.
Have you got, because you need hair scissors, don't you? Because I was just going to use the ones that cut the chicken up in the kitchen.
Apparently there's been loads of pictures posted of people's disasters, because my husband was going to buy one of those, you know, to do his sort of shave his head. What are they called? Like the razors, but they're, you know, for men. Yeah. And then he went on, I don't know whether it was Instagram or whatever, and people were like posting their disasters from doing it themselves. And he went, I'm just going to let it grow. Bollocks. Yeah. He was like, I can't, I'm not risking it.
Yeah. And I think when men get their hair cut, first of all, they always go too short. They look like a kid. They've got like the really short bits and I'm like, oh no, it really puts me off.
We're in control now, girls. We're in control.
Get the bowl out.
Oh gosh, there's going to be some sight soon. That's all I can say. Can't wait. It's just been lovely. Thanks.
Yeah, it has. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Kelly. Take care.
You too. Bye. Thank you.